So we come now to the Word of God this evening. Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you as your people, as your creatures that you have made, and we confess that we are weak, and we ask that you would visit us this evening, that you would open our hearts and our ears to hear your word, and that you would apply it to our lives, so that as we go out this evening, we would be conformed more to the image of your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. If you're using a pew Bible, this is found on page 1251. Colossians chapter 1, we'll be reading verses 9 through 14, and this evening specifically focusing on verses 11 and 12. Colossians chapter 1, reading verses 9 through verse 14. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I'm sure that most of us here have had the experience ourselves, or either witness the phenomena of someone struggling to open a jar. You all know what I'm talking about. I planned this illustration before this morning, but I actually witnessed this phenomena this morning in my own household where there was trouble opening a jar. You know what I'm talking about, that you turn as hard as you can, but no matter how hard you try to turn it, no matter what helps you use, you just can't get it to open. And there is nothing quite as humbling as having your life interrupted by the fact that something as simple as a jar and a lid is interrupting it, and you can't get past it because you can't open it. And it's a humbling experience because it is a simple reminder that something as little as a jar can defeat us. It is a reminder to us that no matter how strong we think we are, there are times when we are actually weak. And we can't perform a task so simple as just opening a jar. We need something to help from outside of ourselves, someone else to come alongside us and open it for us. And it reminds us that in and of ourselves, we are in fact weak. While this example may seem silly or small, it also in a very real way applies to our spiritual lives. That in and of ourselves, we are in fact weak. And we need a strength from outside of us. If we remember from several weeks ago, for those of us who are here, we looked at verses 9 and 10 in Colossians chapter 1. And in these verses, we have Paul praying for the Colossians. And he's praying for four things. Previously, we looked at the first two of those. In verse 9, we have Paul praying that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will, that they would know Him in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And the second thing that Paul prays for is that they would bear fruit, that they would live lives pleasing to God. Now this evening we turn to the third and fourth thing that Paul prays for the Colossians. In verse 11 he prays for strength, and in verse 12 he prays that they would give thanks to the Father. And as we look at verse 11, we read Paul's praying that they will be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. The first thing I want us to notice in the text this evening, even though it's not explicitly stated, implicitly, Paul is reminding us that we are weak. Remember, this is a prayer. The reason that Paul is praying, asking that the Colossians would have strength, is because they need it. It means it is something that they don't have. He prays this prayer because Paul knows that we need strength. We see this illustrated in the history of Israel. When Israel is in the promised land and everything seems to be good, what is the pattern that keeps happening? Life is good for them. They don't have enemies that are assailing them. They're prosperous. The crops are good. The money is flowing. And then the problem that comes is that they forget God. They forget that the source of their strength is not from themselves. In and of themselves, the Israelites are weak. They are blessed not because of their own strength and power, not because they were greater than the other nations, but because God was the one who was great. It was because of God's grace and mercy. But the Israelites forget God constantly and they turn away from Him. They forget this truth that we as humans, in and of our own power, are weak. And as they attempt to live life under their own strength, it constantly ends in disaster. And this truth doesn't just play out in the lives of the Israelites, but also plays out in our spiritual lives as well. Connecting this prayer from Paul back to the previous prayer in verse 10, or the request in verse 10, Paul requests in verse 10 that the Colossians would live lives pleasing to God, walking in fruit, bearing fruit. And this is talking about the life of the Christian in sanctification, of growing more like Christ, of dying to our sins. But as I'm sure all of us know, the life of the Christian is a hard life. That sin still clings closely. And so Paul follows up this request that the Colossians would grow in sanctification by then also praying for strength. Because in and of themselves, the Colossians can't grow in fruitfulness all by themselves. We are often confronted with the fact, in our spiritual lives, we're confronted with the fact that we are weak creatures. Just like the illustration of the jar not being able to open the lid, in and of ourselves, we cannot grow in sanctification. We are weak. We fight sin and it fights back. And sometimes we can get overwhelmed by the fact that I keep messing up. I did it again. We become discouraged because there seems at times to be no progress. And sometimes we can wonder, does God even really love me? Because I keep messing up. We forget that God is pleased with us not because we are able to please Him by ourselves, but God is pleased with us because Jesus has already defeated the sin for us. And as we live now as Christians, we don't live in our own strength. In and of ourselves, we are weak. We don't live in our own strength. But the good news of the gospel is that we live in Christ's strength. We are weak, and so we live not in and of ourselves, but we live with the strength that comes from God through Christ. This now brings us to our second point. Our second point is that God is the source of our strength. Now, I'm going to tell you a truth right now that should blow your mind. Pastor Jeff has been letting the crash helmets get dusty. And for you, those of you who don't know, Pastor Jeff often used the illustration of when a credible truth is about to be proclaimed, you put your crash helmet on to keep your brains inside. So I want you to get them out of the closet and put them back on, because there's a truth here for all of us to hear. And it is this, that our God is strong. Now you're probably wondering, did I really need a crash helmet for that? I know God is strong. But I want you to think about this for a minute. This is connected with Pastor Jeff's sermon this morning. If you remember, when he's talking about the full armor of God, what was the description he used of our God? Our God is a warrior, strong and powerful. And he clothes us in his armor. But there are other examples of the strength and power of God. I mean, think for a moment. The book of Proverbs describes the power of God as being able to direct the wills of kings and nations like a river. Like a river can be forced to change direction. God controls the hearts of kings and leaders, the most powerful men we know. We have the fact that our God, by simply speaking, brought everything into being. He said, let there be light, and light existed. He said, let there be animals, and animals existed. This is a power unlike anything we know. And just as he spoke light into existence, Paul in 2 Corinthians talks about how God has shown light into our dark hearts and conversion. That is strength and power. And even more incredible than all of this, the power of God is displayed in the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. The resurrection is the most powerful display of God's strength. The gospel is described as foolishness to the Greeks. The reason the Greeks viewed the gospel as foolishness is because dead men don't come back from the dead. They stay in the grave. But our God is strong and powerful, and he brings life out of death. He raised Jesus from the dead. If the power of God can accomplish these things, what can't he accomplish? And this is why this truth that our God is strong should be so special and precious to us. Because if our God is strong, what can't he do? And even more amazing is this, that the fact that this God empowers us. He gives us strength. Look again at verse 11. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. His glorious might, the might that is the source of our strength, is God's might and God's strength. God is the source of our power. Now that I've found myself repeatedly saying this phrase when I'm in a situation where someone is sharing a hardship with me, and I'm listening, and you know it's a hard situation that they're going through, and I'm sympathizing with them, and I wish that I could do something to help them. And there's nothing I can do, and so I say, you know, the least I can do is to pray for you. Really? The least thing that I can do is pray for you? I mean, think about what we just talked about here. If our God is strong, if our God can control kings and nations, if our God created this entire world, has the power to raise the dead, is the least thing that I can do actually to ask him to intervene in this situation? Actually, that is probably the most powerful thing I can do. Not because I have power to change the situation. In fact, if I were to try to change it, I'd probably make the situation worse. But we serve a God of strength and power. And when we pray, we call upon the name of our strong God who can work in any situation. No matter how hard, how insurmountable, there is nothing that our God can't accomplish. And this is why that Paul is praying that God would give us strength. Because He can work to change whatever situation we are in. And He gives us the strength to fight against sin. When we become discouraged with sin, it is often because we're fighting sin on our own. We think that it is incumbent upon us to be able to defeat it. We think that it is our responsibility to conquer whatever that struggle is. And the reality is that we can have victory over sin, but it's not a victory that we secure. It is a victory that God works in us. Through Christ, we are made strong. And no matter how dark the sin is, no matter how strong it has a grip on our life, if we truly believe that our God is strong, then it is also true that in Him we are strong. That as He enables us to have power, we have the power to fight against sin. Not on our own, but in our God through Christ. And so we can take encouragement that as we battle against sin, we are not battling on our own, but we are battling with God on our side. But the power of God does not just help us to fight against sin, but notice also in verse 11, Paul says that He gives us power according to His glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. The Christian life is a life of suffering. And our life is a life of suffering because our Savior lived a life of suffering. The entirety of Christ's life was one of hardship and toil. He cried, He wept, He was abandoned, He went through the pains of the cross. And remember His admonition to His disciples that we also are to pick up our cross and to follow Him. But then also, as we consider a theology of suffering, yes, our life is suffering because our Savior's life was a life of suffering, but we are also enabled to endure through the suffering by God's strength. Remember when Paul was afflicted with a thorn in his side, and he repeatedly asked God, he said, "Please relieve me of this thorn, take it away from me." And three times he petitions God, and God responds with this from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. God says to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Then Paul goes on to say, "Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Yes, we are weak in and of ourselves, but through God, we are no longer weak, but we are made strong. And when we face hardships, God doesn't just disappear. Remember the promise of Christ that He is with us from all ages. To the end of the ages, He is with us. And when we are in the midst of the hardships and the trials, we can actually rejoice. Back to Colossians 1, made powerful through his glorious, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. The goal of suffering in the Christian life is not just a little speed bump to get past as quickly as possible. Suffering in the Christian life is an opportunity for the power of God to be on display through us. Paul in 2 Corinthians can rejoice in his weaknesses and his thorns in the flesh, not because he likes them, not because they're fun, but because through them God is glorified. So, Christian, how do you approach suffering? When you are experiencing the heartache and the pain of life, do you endure suffering in your own strength? Or do you turn to God for the strength to endure so that He may be glorified through you? So that as others see your example in the hardship, they may say, the power of God is on display here. How do you approach suffering? Because through God we can endure. And we can endure ultimately with joy. And the suffering can be beneficial for us. We come now to our third point. So we turn to verse 12, and this is the last thing that Paul prays for. And it's interesting, he's just talked about endurance and patience. And heart, you know, he's talking about hardship here, but hardship with joy. And then his next request is that the Colossians would give thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. And this is our third point of our response to the power of God, to the strength that we have in God. I want to start off by, again, using Israel as a negative example. If you remember when Israel, they were slaves in Egypt. And then they were brought out by the mighty hand of God, where He went to battle for them against the Egyptians. And the result of that battle was that God was victorious, and with mighty power He brought them out. And then the Israelites are in the wilderness, and what do? They grumble. And they complain. And then they grumble and they complain again. And then they grumble and they complain again. And again and again. The response of the Israelites is not thankfulness for the power of God that He displayed for them in rescuing them. But instead their response was to grumble. And Paul actually talks about in 1 Corinthians 10 that they were judged for their grumbling, for their lack of thanksgiving to God. And that he even goes on to say that this is an example for us, that we would not respond in that way. So let me ask you, if you were to characterize your life, would you characterize your life as a life of complaining or a life of thanksgiving? Because we have many reasons to be thankful. As Pastor Jeff was talking about this morning, what is often that happens? We end up navel-gazing. We spend our lives just constantly focusing on the things here on this earth right around us. And we lose sight of the fact of the blessings that we have in Christ. We've just spent the majority of this sermon just talking about the power of God. The power of God that He gives to us, where He empowers us to live. That we can overcome the hardships of this life. That is a reason to be thankful. And even if that wasn't enough, Paul gives us more in verse 12 where he says that we give thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. As Christians, we formerly were not of God's family. As So we know, as from the series through Ephesians, we know that we were once in darkness. But we have been now transferred to the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God. And as we've been transferred to the kingdom of God, we have been adopted as sons of God, where we are co-heirs with Christ, where all the spiritual blessings that belong to Christ now belong to you. God has qualified us to share in this inheritance, where we are considered as full sons and daughters of God. And the proper response is a response of thanksgiving. Because as we start off this sermon, we are weak. We didn't deserve this. We didn't deserve to be transferred from the kingdom of light and or from the kingdom of darkness, and brought to the kingdom of light. But God, who is rich in mercy, through his power, renewed us and changed us, shone light into our dark hearts, and transferred us from the kingdom of darkness to a kingdom of light, and we have the right to the inheritance of the children of light. So as we go out this evening, and we think about our lives, and we think about the power of God, we need to remember that our lives are to be lived with a humble submission, looking to God for the strength to stand, the strength to walk. And not just looking to God for the strength to continue to move forward, but we also look forward to the future blessing that is promised us, the blessing of the inheritance to come. So our lives are not a life of navel-gazing, but a life of looking to Christ for the strength to keep going, for the strength to run the race, to reach the inheritance. And as we have that strength, we respond in thanksgiving with joy, because God is with us through all of it. Let us close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the power that you have given us in Christ, that you have not left us in our weak condition, but that through Christ that we are made strong. We ask that you would continue to work in us, to rely upon your strength. And that as we live our lives, that we would live lives of thanksgiving, rejoicing in the strength that you have given us. We ask that you would impress this upon our hearts and our minds. As we go out this evening, we would continue to glorify you. So we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.